The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
So we got the Open starting tomorrow. In Ireland. And apparently, Tiger Woods has texted Brooks Koepka and said, do you fancy a little practice round?
A little round,
You know, just have a little round. Yeah. Because apparently Brooks Koepka doesn't practice for tournaments, but he practices for the majors.
Yeah.
So Tiger's thought, okay, he's probably practiced for this one.
We'll have a little round.
Do you fancy a little round?
Maybe a couple of beers after,
No text back.
Nothing.
Nothing. He's not heard from him.
Wow.
It's Tiger Woods, by the way.
Yes, Tiger Woods.
Greatest fella, to ever pick a golf club up. Okay? And he's not had a text back.
Well, he's probably got to do his hair or something.
Who have you text that's famous and never heard back?
Well, you know what? I text...
Ben Shepherd. You did.
It's true.
Ben never came back.
Never came back three times, Ben Shepherd. Yeah. I want him on the show.
No.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. No.
Yeah, three times we'll be releasing a couple of the Sven remakes. Yeah.
So we had another single out. We had a single out last year.
Last year called Gareth.
Yeah, based on the Sven song.
We know Ben pretty well, and we see him at events. And
He never came back.
He never came back. Lovely text it was.
Yeah.
An email.
Hello, how are you, Ben?
Hello, Ben boy, you know, and all that.
How's the football going? Because he likes a bit of football.
Yeah, he loves football.
Yeah. Lovely. I've played in the West Ham celebrity team with Ben, by the way. Tony Gow and Tony Cotty got me to play in that, and Ben played at the back. Hard as nails, by the way. Hard as nails.
He's very good. Took a good penalty this year at the...
He's a good player. Very good player. But he won't text you back. Mm. There you go. Listen, West Ham has signed... West Ham are about to sign a new £45 million player, Sebastian Haller. Mm. He's travelling to West Ham for a medical transfer. As I say, £45 million. And we've got the ball rolling a little bit with West Ham.
£45 million is a lot of money.
I've seen a lot of Arsenal fans saying... I can't believe West Ham spent more than us already, which is hilarious. We're joined now by former West Ham player, and we're going to have a little chat about all things West Ham, so I'm over the moon with it. Yeah. Steve Jones. Morning, Steve.
Morning, Johnny. Morning, Martin.
Good morning to you,
how
Steve.
How are you?
Yeah, very good. Yourselves?
Good, lovely.
Thanks, Steve.
I'm pleased that West Ham have started throwing a bit of money around. What do you make of this Sebastian Haller?
Yeah, it's a strange one. Once again, it's a very high price tag, as it seems to be nowadays. Mm. But if you ain't spending money, really, £40 million plus, you ain't getting a decent player. That's the way it seems at the moment.
Well,
I thought he's bought quite well so far with Fornals and Haller. They both look really good players, and Adam took the squad that they've already got. And West Ham are looking strong, I think.
Yeah, I mean, just thinking about that, though, Steve, we've spent £45 million on him, but we've let Marko Arnautovic go at £22 million.
Yeah, I mean, and he could have gone in January.
We could have gone in January for like 40 odd.
Yeah.
What did you make of that Arnautovic situation?
To be honest with you, I think it's a little bit criminal, really. It's the player. He did it at Stoke City. I know Mark Bowen well, and he said once he wanted a transfer, there was nothing they could do about it. And I think he's done exactly the same at West Ham. Get his last payday in China. I don't think it's very wise of him. I don't think he's a great dressing room player. I wouldn't have thought we'd have helped team spirit out too much. So in the end, I suppose if they've got their money back, then they've done well, really. I know they've lost money. They should have probably outed him in January, but they wanted to keep him to secure their mid-table position. So they did that. And obviously, he's gone in pre-season again and wanted a move. So they've shifted him quickly, which I think is a good thing.
Do you think he was a bit of a problem, like a bit of a dressing room? The fact is, he's quite a stern character, isn't he? And do you think?
Yeah, he is. He's a sulker. I watched him last year in some of the games. I watched him and he didn't try a leg. Things like that. If it ain't going his way, he's not great to have around. But if it's going in the team's way, then he's a good player. We know he's a good player.
Yeah.
But maybe they've they've lost a bit. They've gained a bit in the dressing room for losing.
Yeah, and what about the fact that Andy Carroll is at the end? I mean, strangely enough, I think Andy Carroll's still training with the squad. Even though he's got, well, he's got to try and keep fit, hasn't he?
I suppose. Yeah.
It doesn't surprise you, really. You never know what could happen there. He could get himself fit and they could offer the players to play.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you know,
he's a good player on his day. We know that, an England international squad member.
Let's face it, if you want to keep fit, Steve, if you want to keep fit, yeah, I mean, you'd run around the block, wouldn't you?
To be fair, he can't.
I remember speaking to Slaven Bilic a couple of years ago, and he said to me, Steve, his ankles and his knees are ruined. Yeah. He's hanging by a thread.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, this was 2 years ago, and I suppose the appearance that he's playing has shown that totally.
Right. Yeah. In this, with the, you know, the likes of Perez, Marco, Arnautovic, Andy Carroll, although he's still training with West Ham, is it essential for West Ham to bring in someone to get them goals?
Yeah, definitely. I think they needed a striker and they've gone and done that. They've gone and seen exactly what they needed to do. So Pellegrini's acted very quickly. He's added Arnautovic. He's brought in another forward. We've obviously seen quality. I've seen a bit of him and looks quality. So it's obviously he's got to adjust to the Premiership. But Pellegrini, again, he doesn't mess around, mate. He knew that Arnautovic weren't his man. He shifted him on and he pulled someone in straight away, which is ideal for the team and the fans.
Yeah, agreed. Listen, this story that's broke now, that Ravel Morrison has joined Sheffield United for a one-year deal. I mean, obviously, a bit of a problem player. I remember him scoring that amazing goal when we beat Spurs. You know, it's fantastic.
Don't remind me of that.
Johnny's a Spurs fan. What did you make of him, Steve?
I feel for you, Johnny.
Obviously, you was around the club, Steve, you know, and know what's going on there. What was the sort of story behind Ravel Morrison?
I don't know, really. Like you said, he's an handful, and certain managers don't really like that, so... I can't remember who shifted him on at the time. It might have been Mr. Redknapp, I think, was it?
It might well have been.
Which quite surprised me, because he likes the odd flair player, so yes. he must have caused him a bit of problem.
Yeah. I think it's a genius stroke from Sheffield United. I think it really is.
It sounds interesting, John, but if he goes missing after three days...
But if he doesn't, and he does what he does best, I think it's a very, very... I think it's a genius stroke from him.
Yeah, maybe.
It could be a good move.
Obviously, they're not going to have the money to throw around like some of the bigger clubs, but they've got to pull a few strokes, I suppose. Just on your career, Steve, just want to ask you, always ask ex-players that come on the Bell and Spurney show, who's the best player you ever played with?
The best player I ever played with was very shortly would have been Paolo Futre.
Really?
And the reason I say that is because he only had half a game at West Ham. His knees were shot to pieces. Wow. And he came on for half a game. And funny enough, it was 0-0. We won 4-0. We had a stormer. Really? But he won European Footballer of the Year twice.
Wow.
And you don't get European Footballer of the Year twice. And you could see that he was an outstanding player.
Right.
Outstanding player. I mean, I love playing with Ian Bishop. Another...
We love Bish.
No, really good, mate. I think the goals that I scored at West Ham, I think he created like three quarters of them. You know, a really excellent player.
Yeah, we love Bish.
So a wonderful way that Bish sort of moved about with the ball, didn't
gracefully.
He? Just very graceful, you know, and it's just...
He wasn't so graceful in Faces Nightclub. He wasn't so graceful there.
No, he was good in nightclubs, but I don't think he's done him no favours.
Do you know what? Some of the funniest nights I've ever had have been in nightclubs with Ian Bishop.
With Ian Bishop,
In fact, there's he's a legend.
Steve, what about a player that you feared the most?
That you hated going out on a Saturday?
Oh, no, I've got him.
There was a few. Really, I didn't really like playing against John Terry. He was a good player. Tony Adams as well.
Yeah.
I remember playing Arsenal away and I hit the post, hit the bar on the first game of the season. I was unlucky.
Yeah.
And just towards the end, I've got him down the side and he's come across me, Tony Adams, and hit me. And I think I had a scar from the top of the thigh to my bottom of my knee virtually.
Really?
It just went straight through me.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
They
were tough players back then.
Do you know what,
Absolutely,
Steve? I was going to say, we're lacking players like that in these days. Do you not think? And also, the fact that he was, you know, he stayed at the club all that time.
Yeah.
You know, we're lucky to have Mark Noble,
Mark Noble's one of the best players we West Ham have ever had by a country. Mark was an outstanding player. I don't think people realise sometimes. I mean, last year they were saying, oh, he's lost his pace. But Mark Noble's never had pace. His game's not about pace.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? His game's about, and it showed last year his creative side. I think 14, 15 assists.
Yeah, I know. Genius player.
Steve, I know you got to go, but just before you go, quickly, go what do you think about this story about the World Cup cricket team going to give some morale boosting to the footballers for the Euros?
Yeah, it's a good thing, mate. The cricket team obviously can milk it because they've won it at last. It took them a long time.
Yeah.
So they're gonna. It's not gonna hurt anything, is it?
No, yeah. I suppose.
You know what I mean? They're both people at the top of their sports. So them going in is just going to be, it's probably going to be a bit of banter flying around as well. So
yeah,
I can imagine it being a really good thing. I wouldn't mind being there.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Steve, thanks for joining us, and looking forward to the coming West Ham season.
Yeah.
It's going to be something special.
I'm sure we'll talk to you again when the season starts.
Thanks, Steve. Have a good day. Steve Jones there, former West Ham player. Do you know what? He just mentioned something there about Tony Adams.
He said
he was the player that he didn't like playing against.
Yes.
And you've got to imagine if you're a goal scorer, which he was, and you're playing at a top level, and you think, I've had a good couple of weeks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've got two there, scored one last Saturday. Who we got this Saturday, boss? Arsenal.
Oh, no.
Oh, not Tony Adams. Martin Keown.
Martin Keown. Scare him with his face.
Yeah. You must be thinking, I'm on a good run, especially if you're a goal scorer. But there again, you've got the flip side of that. If you're a centre-half, two central defenders, and they think, I've had a couple of pretty good games.
Yeah.
And if who are we playing this week? And then you've got a lot of centre-forward that is so quick.
Yeah.
And so there again, there's certain players that could deal with players who are quick. Okay, just by the time, like Bobby Moore was not quick.
No, absolutely. Teddy Sheringham wasn't quick.
No, but that's what I'm saying. But there's certain players that have got timing. Bobby Moore, not
Gary
quick.
Gary Lineker wasn't quick.
Not quick, but he was a goal hanger.
He was a goal hanger, yeah. Great. Okay.
But what I'm saying is there's certain players that offer something different.
Yes.
For instance, Diego Costa at Chelsea, when he was playing at Chelsea.
Yeah.
I reckon most centre-halves would go, oh my God, elbows and just horrible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just a nasty piece of work that you would get. Listen, I mean, we've had a few players on here, centre-forwards, that have mentioned Martin Keown.
Yes.
Was one of the artists,
yes.
Because he would get you round the ribs. He'd dig his nails in your ribs, right? He wouldn't let you away. He was like that kid at school that technically wasn't that good.
Yeah.
But he was annoying.
Love sports.
A Tour de France rider, right, risked being kicked out of the race for spanking a fan on the backside after he mooned at him. The cyclist from the Bahrain Merida team hilariously palmed one cheeky supporter, one cheeky supporter on the side of the road during stage 9. A picture shared on social media showed a fan with a, with a red backside.
Yeah, why is he getting thrown out for that?
We're joined by Kieran Cridgen. What do you think, Kieran?
It's just ridiculous because some of the abuse that the cyclists getting, in particular British cyclists in France, in particular, you think about Chris Froome, that the French have been pretty hopeless in the Tour de France. I mean, Julien Alaphilippe, who currently is the yellow jersey holder, is the first time that on Bastille Day, a French rider's worn that jersey in 8 years. Mm. So they're very envious of our success. Obviously, we've dominated for the last decade.
Yeah.
And the abuse, Chris Froome's been thrown urine at by the fans.
Wow.
It's disgusting, some of the behaviour.
So,
and so for him to do that,
it's ridiculous.
For him to do that and then to be threatened to be thrown out, I think that they've completely got their priorities absolutely wrong.
Well, as Bell said earlier, we've got a bit namby-pamby, haven't we?
Well, the namby-pamby mob have got involved.
Yeah.
And they may, we use the namby-pamby mob quite a lot. They're normally sort of camped out outside Parliament Square.
Yeah.
Or none of them have had a wash for a couple of weeks. But the namby-pamby mob have got involved here. I think it's... Do you know what? I think it's a great story. The other thing I would say about this is I find some of these fans, it's quite dangerous. They step out in front of the bikes, okay?
Yeah.
And to step out in front of the bikes and start mooning them and doing stuff like that, I think it's quite dangerous.
It is incredibly dangerous. I mean, we praise some of the time the great support that all the way through the Tour de France, all the way through the 21 stages, that the fans line the roads, and it is incredible. However, a lot of the time, it is incredibly dangerous, and they are nutters. There's no doubt about it. They get in the way, and at times it can cause some of the riders to crash, and that could ruin their whole race. Once the crowd kind of became so kind of deep and on the road that one of the cars had to slow down, Chris Froome crashed into one of them and had to start running up a mountain without a bike because the other cars couldn't get through to give him a replacement. That's how dangerous it is. And so I'm all for this great support, but in particular, it's on the Tour de France. The supporters are too crazy, and they end up, potentially, they could ruin a complete race, a whole 21-stage race that someone is aspiring to win the Tour de France. Their whole dreams could be shattered by one stupid idiot that gets in their way, that throws something at them that could completely throw them off.
Oh, yeah, on another note, though, Kieran, do you think we're going to see more Moonies? Do you think, like, at every stage there'll be, like, a line of Moonies waiting to be spanked? I mean, listen, I'm not being funny.
What?
There could be some right sort of wrongo people turning up at these races thinking, if I'm going to get spanked, I'm going over there.
Yeah, that could be concerning. I don't think... When I tune in on ITV4, I don't think I'll be wanting to see loads of people lining up.
Well, you don't, you know.
Hang on a minute. There's a load of people in gimp masks have gone over to watch the Tour de France.
All shouting, spank me, spank me.
Here they come. Here come the riders. It's fantastic. I like it. I think it's a new race.
It's certainly there.
Tour de Spank.
Tour de Spank.
It's fantastic.
It's a great one, isn't it? Kieran. What you got for us?
Yes, we'll start off with some football stories.
Is there any spanking involved?
No, fortunately, no spanking involved with Steve Bruce. Obviously, this morning, the big breaking news that has been reported for a little while, although there were some reports overnight that Bruno Genesio, who is the Lyon coach, was supposedly going to take over, and that completely threw some people. But Steve Bruce has been...
Do you think... do you think that is when the betting goes a little bit mad? Okay, I've got to say this, because I've seen this over a period of time. When the betting goes a bit mad and it's 20-1 on Steve Bruce has got it, and so people stop betting, and then somehow a little rumour comes out about somebody else, some welder from Brazil is going to take over
that
nobody's heard of, and suddenly the betting goes from 20-1 down to 8-1 on, and then people start piling the money on. They go, I was only joking, Steve Bruce has got it.
Yeah, I think that can sometimes happen, but obviously that news has been of a 3-year contract for Steve Bruce, and he's making his way out to China at the moment, which is where Newcastle currently are. They're actually playing Wolves today, this morning. It starts at 11 o'clock over in Shanghai, so Steve Bruce is kind of frantically trying to make his way over there. They're playing in the Premier League Asia Trophy. As I said this morning, their first game is against Wolves. So he's got a big, big job because we are only a matter of weeks, 3 weeks away until the Premier League season starts and the transfer window ends. And there is a lot to do at Newcastle.
Kieran, could you tell us a little bit more about this, the Asian Trophy?
So it's usually played annually. And I know that Liverpool played out there a few years ago. So it's kind of expanding the brand of the Premier League by it being the Premier League Asia Trophy. And there are four Premier League teams involved, which are Newcastle, Wolves, West Ham and Manchester City this year.
Okay.
And so they will both play... Newcastle playing Wolves.
I bet the other three went... Oh, not Man City. Couldn't they have got somebody else?
So Newcastle playing Wolves, West Ham will play Manchester City, and then, as I believe it, the winners will play off for the Premier League Asia Trophy, and then the losers play a third.
And they take over their full squads and...
They will do, but obviously, for example, you think about Manchester City, they don't have players that were involved at the Copa America, so that includes the likes of Edison and Fernandinho and Gabriel Jesus, so they don't have those players. Also at the African Cup of Nations, they got Riyad Mahrez, so those players aren't involved, but most of the others, Raheem Sterling, David Silva, are all out there with Manchester City. You look at Wolves' team today. Wolves' team is pretty much a full-strength side, so you've got Rui Patricio, Ruben Neves... Leander Dendonca, João Moutinho, Adama Traore. So they've got a pretty strong team out there. Obviously, for Wolves and Newcastle and West Ham, they haven't kind of had that many players that have had kind of international competitions this summer.
What about the teams with the new signings? The new signings would have gone over there.
No, they would have done. It depends, obviously, when they would have signed. So I believe that Rodri, for example, Manchester City signed. No, not Rodri Giggs. Rodri. Yeah. And it does annoy me, especially as a linguist, that you don't call him. I think his full name is Rodrigo Hernandez. Oh. So I want to hear.
Didn't he say that well? Yeah. Say it again.
Rodrigo Hernandez.
And how can you do Rodri Giggs?
What, in a...
No, just whatever you want to do it in.
Rodri Giggs.
He's great.
So,
yeah,
so
but listen, Rodri. It's a wonderful advert that Rodri Giggs does.
It's brilliant. I love it.
It's painful. It's painful to watch. You know, I just look at him and go, how much are you getting for this? And has your brother been on the phone saying, why are you doing that?
So, yeah, the likes of Rodri should be out there with Manchester City. He hasn't been involved in either Copa America because he's Spanish, so he hasn't been involved in that or the African Cup of Nations. So most of the new signings will be out there. But obviously, with the kind of Nations League, then the Copa America, then the African Cup of Nations, players will all be coming back at staggered intervals. So not all the players will be involved
probably
at this stage of pre-season.
Actually.
Probably staggering.
Staggering.
Especially if the other three have been to Miami.
Yeah.
A bit of partying in Miami.
Yeah, for the morale boost.
Just switching to the Open at the moment, Kieran. Obviously, it starts tomorrow. Practice rounds are going out at the moment. It's raining. It looks pretty desolate there. Just give us a couple of golf stories.
Yeah, I've got three for you. So Tiger Woods has been criticised. In particular, I think I saw yesterday in the Telegraph by Paul McGinley, who had been suggesting that he's taken way too much time off ever since he won the Masters.
I'm not surprised. He's been stabbed by Koepka.
He's been taking a lot of time off. He's been spending a lot of time in Thailand, which is, I believe, where his mother is from. So he's been spending quite a lot of time off. And it's the interesting question, is he at that stage of his career where he does need big breaks because of the injuries he's had, or should he actually be continuing form? So Tiger Woods is going to be interesting to see whether rest is going to result in quality performance. Brooks Koepka is hoping that his caddy could be a real asset, that Ricky Elliott is from or born in Portrush.
Okay. So it seems like everybody's from Portrush. Graham McDowell, I think, was there from there. Obviously, Rory's Northern Irish.
Darren Clark.
It's like, is there any other little towns in Northern Ireland other than Portrush?
Potentially not, but I suppose if you're a golfer, then it's probably like you're going to be from somewhere near like a Portrush that you can improve as a youngster. And also, just finally, Justin Rose has been quite critical of the schedule, actually, because he believes, and when I was reading it, I thought of this the other day, that all of the majors seem to be really condensed into a very short period of time. This is the final major of the year, that we had the Masters in April. Then we had the US Open, then the PGA, and then the Open here in mid-July. And that's it for major competitions. And he feels that actually they should be slightly further spread out over the year. Mm. So that in theory, if I suppose it works both ways, doesn't it? If you're in good form, then it must be brilliant that you're in good form and you can continue that with that confidence. If you're not in such great form, to an extent, you have to write off that year in terms of major competition. Mm. So that's an interesting one. Just finally, actually, Brooks Koepka, a really interesting read. Some people have been critical of this. He's said or admitted that he only really practices in the build-up to major competitions. I don't know whether that's a case of he doesn't really care about anything else, but he only seems to practice, but his record over the last few years. I mean, he's won 6 PGA Tour events. 4 of them have been majors. So it shows that, to an extent, it is working. And at the end of the day, obviously, you want to win as many competitions as you want, but at the end of the day, it comes down to those 4 majors and how many of them you
should
win.
He should answer his text, though, shouldn't he? Tiger
Woods has texted him and asked him for a practice round, and he's not even responded. Nah. But do you know what? That's a good point there, Kieran, because you always get the kids, you know, I'm talking about football now, that say the ones that practice, you know, absolute practice and practice and practice, makes perfect. But you get other people, especially in golf, that say, actually, if I think about it too much, it makes it worse. So if I just turn up at the course and I just play naturally with a clear mind, I play better.
I think it depends on the person, because some people prefer to practice a lot. Gary Player said the more you practice, the luckier you get. But it just depends. In cricket, for example, the temptation when you're out of form is to actually train a lot. But Nick Compton said that actually when he was out of form, he would stay away from the nets because he was just overthinking it all trying too hard in any way. And actually when he was in good form, he said he would actually train harder. So I think it just depends on the personality. And actually, if it works for Brooks Koepka and he's won 4 majors in the last few years, it's showing that when you need to reach your peak, which is at the majors, then that's right. But obviously, for one person compared to the next, it might be completely different.
Just one more, Kieran. Who would you like to send a text to and then not to respond?
Oh.
I mean, Tiger Woods has texted Brooks Koepka and said, "You fancy a practice round?" Yeah, and he's not heard back.
After.
Okay, nothing at all back from him. Now, just give us somebody
who I wouldn't really want, who I wouldn't want a response from.
Yes.
Oh, Kevin Peterson. I would want to send a message about what I thought of him as an England cricketer.
But you wouldn't want him to come back, though.
No, because he'd probably
he's a bit powerful. Yeah. Isn't he? Love Sport. You are listening to Bell and Sperling.
Yes, you are,
and you as well.
Who's you as well?
The other one. It's a Welsh person. You as well. Listen, we were talking to Steve Jones, former West Ham player, earlier, and we mentioned about Andy Carroll.
Yeah.
Even though he's gone from West Ham,
he's still training with him. Oh, you wouldn't do that, would you?
I was going to say, right?
Run around a block.
He's just bought Rod Stewart's house.
Yeah.
Okay. Rod Stewart's house has got, it's amazing. The acreage is amazing. It's got a beautiful lake. I mean, the lake you could water ski on. It's that big. Yeah. There's stables. But it's got the best football pitch I've ever played on.
Yeah.
I'm talking, when I say the best pitch.
Yeah, you said, yeah. It's
the
amazing.
Best surface.
Yeah.
The best goals. It's fantastic. So you'd think he'd go to his wife, Billy. He'd go, I'm just going to go training. Where are you going? In the back garden.
Yeah. We're going to train in the back garden on our full-size pitch.
Yeah. It is amazing,
and it's got all the changing rooms and
this. In fact, if anybody ever played at Rod Stewart's house, you would the changing rooms are at the top near the stables, right? And Rod's team will have lovely changing rooms, lovely showers.
Yeah,
the opposing team changed in the stable.
Brilliant.
Had one shower.
No,
and I played for both. I played for him, and I played for other team. And you'd have one shower, freezing cold.
And the other one, that showers each.
Yeah, that's just, it was beautiful.
Why did he do the other
strategic
one?
Strategic, it was.
Yeah.
And if you, on a summer's day, if you play for Rod's team, afterwards, you can go in the swimming pool. The opposing team, see you down the pub later. We'll be down in about an hour and a half. Fantastic.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
But Andy Carroll can obviously train there. Listen, we're going to come back to this story very soon about the steepest... the steepest hill. It's been voted in the Guinness World Records.
Yes.
We're going to come back and talk about it.
A street in North Wales has been declared the steepest in the world. We're going to talk to a guest. I think we're going to try and get the councillor for this steepest.
It's obviously in Wales.
Just
going back to the old Tour de France situation where the rider risks being kicked out of the race.
Because he spanked.
Because he was spanking a
moon, yeah.
He spanked a fan on the backside after he was mooned at him.
Okay. Right.
Now,
thoroughly deserved.
Well, that's what I think.
Isn't it? Thoroughly deserved.
Yeah.
Don't stick your bum out.
Yeah.
Keep your bum to yourself.
Okay.
If you don't want to be spanked.
Spectators getting involved,
that's
right?
A good shot as well, wasn't it? Bang. Have some of that.
I mean, it could have been worse. It could have missed the cheek. And oh, dear.
Oh, no, he could have missed that because he's got his bum.
Yeah, but it could have been
not his front trumpet.
It could have ended up in the wicket, in the crease. There you go. Listen, what about when there's a certain Man United player, done a kung fu kick?
Oh yeah,
to one of the fans.
Oh yeah.
Now what I'm saying is, okay, I said to you last year, I was at the West Ham Chelsea game, right?
Yeah.
And Willian came over to take a corner. West Ham.
Yes.
The amount of abuse that he got from the West Ham fans was ridiculous.
Yes,
awful. I had to be in that corner. And I don't know whether I could take that. I'd have to do something. I'd have to turn around and at least say something.
And absolutely. But you can't now, can you?
You can't.
You can't do it.
And this is what I'm saying.
Disgusting, isn't it?
Spectators and fans get involved too much. And then when it goes wrong...
Yeah.
You know, and Eric obviously shouldn't have done the kung fu kick. I mean, very good, wasn't it?
Fantastic, wasn't it? And also, we're all going, yeah, go on, Eric.
Yeah, but we shouldn't, but we did.
But we did, otherwise, we shouldn't.
Otherwise, the namby-pambies get involved.
Oh,
but
yes.
to be fair to Eric Cantona, be fair.
Yeah.
Just before that, the camera didn't, flick to him.
No.
But he'd done some nunchuckers and he'd done a bit of a Bruce Lee twizzle and then he'd done a kick. Anyway, listen, John, this story... The world record has been broken. The Guinness World Records are verified. The gradient... of a hill in France.
Yes.
It's a street in North... in France. Sorry, a street...
No, in Wales.
In Wales. In North Wales, has been declared the steepest in the world.
Yeah, residents of Harwich, Gwynedd, are celebrating the Guinness World Records, verified the gradient of Flaidd Pen Lych.
I think you said that
Lech.
Right.
Do you think I said it right?
Try it again. I thought something was stuck in your throat. Say it again.
Flaidd Pen Lych.
Yeah.
It sounds German, doesn't it?
It does a bit.
I'll tell you what, we'll ask.
We're joined now by Freya Hannah Bentham, who is the councillor for Harwich in Wales. Have we got that right?
Are we saying it all right there?
It's actually Harwich. But close.
Hang on a second. Right, so it's Harlech.
Yeah, perfect.
Is that perfect?
Well done.
And is your name Freya Hannah Bentham or Bentham?
Bentham.
Bentham. Bentham. There we go.
So we got none of it right.
We got none of it right. Freya.
And it's Forpen
Ser. Hang on a second. Say that again.
Forpen Ser.
Yeah.
Okay. You say that.
Let's go with what we went with first time.
Let's give it that.
So how did this come about? Obviously, it's a very steep hill, but you got the Guinness World Record team to come over and have a look at it, did you?
I didn't arrange it. A man called Gwyn Headley did lots of the work, and a girl called Sarah Badham. So they've been working on it for about a year, maybe a bit less, I think. And they've put loads of work into this, and we're really grateful for what they've done.
Oh. What I find strange about this, and it tickled me this, is that most of the people live at the bottom of the hill, but the chemist and the post office is at the top of the hill. Who come up with that plan?
Yeah.
Harlech's not very big. There's the high street and there's the chemist and the post office and a spa and all the cafes and things. And then the majority of the bottom is residential. But we've got a swimming pool and a shop. And
I'll bet you have. I bet it's filled up at the bottom of the hill, isn't it? I bet it's filled up with...
How many people are in Harlech?
Nine.
What's the population of Harlech?
I think it's just under 2,000. Maybe 1,500, I think. Okay. I don't know.
That's not
it's
many.
That big off the top
but
of my head.
What I'm worried about here, Anna, is that the fact of if you're ill and you're living at the bottom and you think, I'm so ill, I need some antibiotics, but you've got to get up the hill to the chemist. And I reckon most people go, I'll leave it. I'll just be ill for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
I bet there's not many fat people there, I can tell you that.
There are two other roads up to Harlech, up to the high street, so you can get your antibiotics. You can't drive up there, but you can drive down it. We've got a bus as well.
It sounds like a wonderful place because you sound so happy. No, you really do, honestly. I've never heard anybody sound so happy.
Yeah, I mean, well, she's at the bottom of the hill, wouldn't she?
Oh, yeah, she hasn't walked up there yet.
She hasn't got up. What about? Do you know what? I think you must have... people will come and visit you every time it snows because it must be the best place for sledging.
Yeah,
but it's a bit windy. It's not a straight run.
Makes it even better, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, you're really excited.
Is there any crash, like some terrible crashes? I don't know why I'm asking this.
Don't ask that.
But what I'm saying is, if you're living at the bottom of the hill, and let's say someone's handbrake goes, and you think, oh no, it's him again, who's got that dodgy old car, here he comes. I bet there's some worries there, isn't there?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't heard no one's voiced this concern yet, but maybe. I don't know. I drive down it quite often because I'm a bit lazy. So I don't walk up it ever, but I drive down it weekly. And it is a bit scary, and you do have to have good brakes and keep your foot on the brake the whole time.
Sorry, is it a one-way street? Because I was just thinking, if you've got a manual...
Way.
Oh, it is, okay. I was thinking, if you've got a manual, then I bet there's the clutch goes within about a month, and you've got to get it replaced.
I'm really happy talking to you, Freya. Just quickly, so you're a councillor for Harlech, are you?
Hallach, well done. Yes, and I also run the cafe at the top of the street of Till in the world.
You're a councillor cum cafe owner.
Wow.
Yep,
wow, that's brilliant.
And one of the best sledges you've ever seen.
I'll bet she is.
Freya, listen, it's wonderful. We should put it up on our website.
We will.
And we'll get people.
Thank you.
They will be descending on you on your little town just to go sledging down that hill.
Freya Hannah Bentham, thank you very much indeed.
Councillor,
have
for
a good Harnish. Day. Yeah.
Do you know what? We always look for a place with the steepest hill.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. That you could skateboard down at least.
Yeah, absolutely, you know? Yeah.
And there was a very strange one. We used to roll a wheel down a hill in Chigwell.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And then we'd try and follow it until it smashed into somebody's house.
Love sport.
You're back with Bell and Sperling. And do you know what? Just going on that Ravel Morrison thing, I do think you're probably right that geniuses are a bit disruptive in the class.
We obviously talk unpredictable. About
Paul Gascoigne, most disruptive person in the world.
Yeah.
Right? But we love him.
Ugh.
Okay?
And all the, as I'm saying, everybody who worked with him loved him.
You just said Peter Sellers, most disruptive person.
Yeah.
Couldn't get a sensible word out of him.
No.
Freddie Starr was the same.
Freddie Starr.
You know? It's the same.
Well, concept. No, Peter Sellers was very serious off screen, though.
Okay. But disruptive.
But disruptive.
Okay.
Well, no. He was.
Listen, let me just tell you something.
Go on.
Right? When we did Top of the Pops, you were the most disruptive person at Top of the Pops, right? You wound up Will Young.
I did.
You got Shakira in the headlock.
Shakira in the headlock and right? all that sort of
and
stuff.
And do you know what? Everybody always asks me who's the most disruptive person.
Yeah.
And I always say my partner, Johnny Sperling.
You do.
Because
you
you're
do,
an
absolutely.
Absolute nightmare.
We're going to talk now to an actor.
Yep.
He was a model. He's been in the charts.
Yeah.
And he's trying to save our pubs, and I'm all for that too. We're joined by Will Mellor. Will, how you doing, mate?
Hey, mate, all right?
Yeah,
fantastic. Very good. Now, what is this all about at the moment with the pubs?
It's a national pub fortnight. It starts on Friday the 19th.
Yep.
It's a fortnight. It's just trying to promote getting out to your pub, your local pub, being part of the community, you know,
yes.
And just reminding people that, you know, the pub is there and it is the hub. And it's a part of what Great Britain's about, getting out and being social.
Will, do you Absolutely. Think... I mean, obviously, listen, we've lost so many pubs, so many have closed down, and it's become a different environment, hasn't it? And Johnny Sperling here thinks that it changed when they took when they made the smoking ban.
I agree with him. I mean, I was talking about this before, that, especially for the older generation. I mean, could you imagine? I mean, what old geezer back in the day who's grown up with it, smoking in pubs and being part of it, wants to go out in November, December time, January, and stand outside a pub and smoke? It's just, it killed it for them. And they're the people we need to look out for. You know what I mean? They're the ones who are sat at home lonely and have no social contact with anybody.
Well, that's what
another thing that's bad as well is people think they're being social when they're on their phones. That's not being social, sat at home, sat on your chair on
so
Instagram.
True.
That's not being social.
No, you're right.
Get out to your pub, go and have a chat. Go and find out what's going on in your community.
And leave
your mum out for a bit of food or something. Pub doesn't mean you have to just go and drink beer and watch football.
And leave your phone at home. Leave your phone at home, Will. That's what I say.
Well, do you know what? That is an important part, what you just said, Will. The fact was, the pub was your community, wasn't it? You could actually go down the pub on your own and think, you wouldn't say, I'm going to meet someone. You would actually go to the pub and think, oh, is Dave in here? Is Bob in here?
That's what it was.
That was part of it.
Yeah.
It's the same as me now. I do that now. I go out now. I swear down. Sometimes I'll drop a message out and say, right, who's in the pub? But I guarantee you, I can walk into my local village, walk into the pub. I'll know the landlord or the landlady.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, I'll know someone sat at the bar. Or even if I don't know them, it's all right, mate. How's your day been? All right, not bad. And the conversation begins.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
It's just being social. Yeah. You know, it's a bit of release. It's letting the pressure off. You know what I mean?
When but Will, you don't get that in London, right? You can't walk in a pub in London that nobody talks to anybody. Nobody even makes
That's the problem, isn't it?
It's the problem. Because everybody's on their phones.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. They should have some pubs now where please do not bring in your phones.
Yeah.
We're banning phones.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. What about the... Do you know what the other thing has changed, Will, that I think is quite important, is the decor of pubs has changed, doesn't
it?
Right? I miss... the old look of a pub.
Yeah.
You know,
but you know what? I went to the, I filmed over in Belfast. They did Line of Duty out there.
Yeah.
And they do know how to have a pub. I tell you, I'm telling you, this place called The Crown, opposite where I was staying, opposite the hotel.
Yeah.
I checked into this hotel, and the cab driver couldn't wait to tell me it was the most bombed hotel in Belfast. I don't know why he reminded me.
That's the Europa, isn't it? The Europa.
Yeah. Well, I think they changed the name now, but yeah, stayed there.
Yeah.
Anyway, across the road, honestly, this pub, it's just phenomenal. It's probably the most famous pub, actually.
Well, it's not, do you know what? I was talking about it yesterday on a show, because I did a rock tour there last year and the year before, and we ended up in a place called Filthy McNasty's.
No, I didn't go in Filthy McNasty's.
Will, you got to go. It's about five doors from that hotel you're talking about, the Europa. It was the most. They used to throw a bomb in the foyer and run away, and people. It was just like a known place.
Wow. Yeah.
But do you know what? The other thing about Belfast as well, the live music there is fantastic, isn't it?
That's what I was about to say. This pub opposite, I think it's called The Crown, but the one next door to it, I can't remember the name of it. But you go in the pub, and then you go through the door at the back.
Yeah.
And there's another room, and they have all the fiddly-diddly-dee music and the fiddles. It was honestly, what an atmosphere. Everyone's up dancing, finishing the dance, whatever they're drinking. Just a great atmosphere. And this was on a Wednesday or something.
Yeah,
it wasn't weekend.
Right.
It was just fantastic.
You're right.
Let's get back to what this is about, which is about the National Pub Fortnight.
Yeah.
Now, there's the promise of a free pint. Which everybody would be feeling thirsty about that all of a sudden. How can they go about claiming one?
If you go on the website, www.nationalpubfortnight.com, there's 100,000 free drinks up for grabs.
Wow.
Across 2,500 pubs across the UK. Find out, go on there, find out where your local one is, get your drink. As I say, it's mainly as well on there, you can find out what's happening in your local pub, because if you've not been to the pub for a while, you might be a bit like, oh, I bet it's like this, I bet it's like that.
Yeah.
There'll be something for you, because there's karaoke nights or live bands, or there might be a quiz on. You know, there's all sorts of things. Just get out there and be social. Have a bit of fun, you know.
Do you think the food thing has kind of spoiled it a bit?
Well, there's a different kind of pub. I'm saying the pub comes under an umbrella. You can go into a pub that's mainly angled towards sports. You can go to a pub that's maybe for the older generation, where they might, you know, have different kind of seating and they have a quiz on. Or you can go to gastro pubs where it's more angled towards food. It doesn't matter. It's still a social place that comes under the pub umbrella. Whatever suits you. I like a sports pub near me where the screens are when the football's on. But when the football's not on, there's another pub I go to because there might be a bit of horse racing. I'll have a beer and I'll have a couple of bets because there's a bookies across the road. You know,
whatever it might be,
find out what it is for you and just get out there and be social.
Do you know what is another thing you just mentioned there, Will? I mean, going back a few years, me and Johnny used to probably do 110, 120 gigs a year in pubs.
In pubs, yeah.
And so there was loads of live music. That has been reduced massively as well, the live music.
Yeah, well...
I think it depends as well. Remember, you've got to cover, the landlord's got to cover whatever the band's costing. So, you know, it's about advertising and getting the bands and making sure there's an audience for and the venue. But there is live music in my village. There's live music every week. You have in the village hall at the bottom, they have a live band on. In the pub, local pub, they have a bit of live music on. And you get all different people that follow the bands around come. So the pub gets filled with different kinds of atmosphere, different kind of people.
Yeah.
You just got to get out there.
Got to get out there,
Will, haven't you?
I'm just worried about the digital age and technology people sitting at home on the phone thinking that's being social. It so isn't. Don't get caught in that, man.
No.
Leave your phone and go and get to the pub and be social. Be part of the community.
Will, what you're saying there, we promote all the time. Please get out there into your pubs. Will, and we know you've got to go, but thank you so much for your time. That's National Pub Fortnight. Will Mellor there.
Yeah, thanks, Will. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Another thing, we didn't get a chance to take a wheel there was in the old days, you went to the pub.
Yeah.
Because that's where you would pull somebody.
of course.
It's true. You could chat.
Yeah.
You could chat to someone.
Yeah.
And that's how you got to know them. And that's how not on the phone, swiping left and
please
right.
Please don't. Isn't it awful?
It's gone.
Isn't it awful?
I'm going to tell you, I'm going to quickly tell you something, right?
Cool.
Went out with friends that you know a few weeks ago, was in Canary Wharf. We had a bit of a slap up meal on a Friday, and we said, literally, we're the last people in the restaurant, right? And we just
we are.
I said, let's get in a cab and we'll find, we'll just ask a driver, where's there a pub?
Nice,
right? A late night pub.
A late night pub.
And he drove us down Commercial Road.
Okay.
I've got to try and get the name of it. But it was on the corner, and we got in there. Now, this pub, I've got to tell you, it might be called The Crown. I'm going to message one of the taxi drivers, actually. He'll be able to tell me. It was like going back in time.
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah.
It was a proper pub. Now, you've got to look this up, everybody. It's on Wapping. It is, I think it's on Commercial Road. Yeah. It was quite drunk. I couldn't really remember where it was. But it had a DJ in the corner.
Yeah.
With the old rope light.
Oh,
round it,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Playing a bit of Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Playing a bit of the old stuff, right?
Yeah.
And the toilets are all done in graffiti.
Right.
And they've not been touched, right? It's not been modernised, okay? Mm. And it's a proper old pub.
Yeah.
And there's a stage where there's obviously a band plays on a various nights.
Yeah.
Everybody in there was like a young, student-y little crowd.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
All dancing. Absolutely loving it. And it was like going back in time.
Mm-hmm.
And I posted it up on a couple of papers and people said, I know where that pub is. Now, yeah. That would have been taken away a few years ago.
Absolutely,
but the fact there's a new generation that have started using pubs again, and there's just one that I've got a reference as well.
Yeah.
It's called the Palm Tree.
Oh, yeah.
You have to go there. Right. Okay? It's in Bethnal Green, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And it's still got all the red velvet walls.
Yeah.
And we've also...
Yeah.
They've got a three-piece band that play there. And the average age of this three-piece band is 75 years of age.
Wow.
It's incredible, isn't it?
And funny you should mention
Bethnal Green. I've sung with them. It's an amazing place.
Oh, but it's good, yeah. Bethnal Green, you mentioned. I've got a story about Bethnal Green very quickly. We did a gig. We used to do a gig I can't remember. It's a harvester now.
All right, yeah.
In, not Goodmays. Chebelief.
Chebelief, yeah.
What was it called? The Greyhound.
The Greyhound.
So we were doing a gig once. It was the one where I put the cone on my head.
Yeah.
The road cone. Yeah. I'd done a gig with a road cone on my head. Do you remember that?
I do, yes. Because you were so bored, you said, I'm going to put a road cone on
my head. That's right. But all of a sudden, I saw a girl come in.
Yeah.
And she sat on her own. You don't remember this, don't you? Okay. She sat on her own for a little while, and then she got up to go out. Mm. I said, where are you going, darling? You know, I was doing all that.
Oh, yeah.
And
darling?
Whatever it was. Oh, where are you going, sweetheart?
Sweetheart?
All right, where are you going, madam?
That's it.
I don't know what I said.
Namby-pamby. Go on.
You're being namby-pamby, aren't you? I said, where are you going? You know, my best voice.
Love.
So anyway, I've gone back to sit down. I've gone, you know, to chat with her. Mm. And all of a sudden she says, I said, where are you from? She says, oh, I've come in to meet a fella, but he's let me down.
Right.
I said, oh, it's change.
That's lucky.
She was a girl from...
Ipanema?
She was Financial Times. She was a secretary.
Right.
She was lovely. She was well-spoken.
Yeah.
So we went to Faces afterwards.
Faces nightclub.
Yeah, and I had a little kiss in the cuddle with her.
Oh, dear.
So then I said, let's go out next Monday.
Yeah.
We've gone out the next Monday, right?
Mm.
This is a great story. So we can have the next Monday. So I've met her.
Yeah.
I said, what do you want for drink? What do you want to drink? She went, can I have a large vodka with lemonade?
Yeah.
Well, for the next hour or two, we sat in this pub. Mm. It was in the Greyhound still.
Yeah.
She had about 10
large vodkas.
So it got to about 10:30. She's larruped. She can't hardly speak.
Yeah.
We've got to go somewhere now.
Yeah.
I said, well, the only place I know is a place in Bethnal Green that I used to sing at. It's like open till late.
Yeah.
But they also, I didn't realise it was on a Monday, they have strippers.
Right.
Right? So it's 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
About 12 o'clock. We've turned up there.
Yeah.
We've got in there. She says, what's this place? Anyway, so the strippers, I didn't realise.
Yeah.
One's come on, haven't they?
Right.
This girl.
Yeah.
She's gone, oh, look, she's got up with her. She's got up with her and started stripping. This is no joke. She's got up and started stripping.
Yeah.
Again, what are you doing? What are you... Everyone's looking at me. She's, she's getting everything out.
Yeah.
I've got, come on, quit.
Let's
drag
get
her
out.
Off.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get out. So I've dragged her out.
Yeah.
She's just like in her underwear.
It's embarrassing, yeah.
Put her in the car.
Yeah.
I said, what are you doing? It's terrible. Oh, God. Got halfway home.
Mm.
She's gone mad in the car.
Right.
She's bitten my leg. She's biting my leg while I'm driving. She's biting it. And I'm driving along. I'm going, what are you doing? Get off, you mad woman. Get off. She's biting me. I've pulled over, got her off, run out of the car.
Yeah.
I've seen a policeman. I said, please. Yeah. I've got a mad woman in the car. He goes, I can't do anything about it.
No.
So I phoned my mate, Robbo.
Yeah.
I said, Robbo, where are you?
Get me
home. I'm coming over. We're going to get this, but I'm going to take her home.
Yeah.
We've took her home. I've got there. We've took her home. Mm. Anyway, so we've got her in her flat, wherever she lived.
Yeah.
And we've got to turn round in her thing. Where we stopped. You know that music? Doom. She's standing there with her head in the headlights.
No.
She looks like she's going to kill us.
Right.
She's left her shoe in my car. Right? I've just gone... She's run out of the way. Yeah. I've still got her shoe now.
This is Love Sport.
You've been listening to Bell and Sperling. We will sign out. Thank you very much.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.